Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 29th, 2023, Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Good morning. Thank you. Who's the boss around here? Who's the boss in this house of worship? Bruce might think he's the boss, but he's not the boss. Pastor John's not the boss. Pastor Tolberg's not the boss either. Who's the boss? It's God. God is the boss. And when you read about the Bible, God says that he's the boss and he's over us and he rules over us and he gives certain directions. Certain rules to follow. And when God says to do it, we do it. When God says don't do it, we don't do it. Right? So when God says don't steal, we don't steal. When God says don't harm your brother or sister, we don't harm our brother and sister. And the list goes on and on. What's kind of interesting is God also has placed someone under his umbrella. You want to help me out? I'll pop it open for you. There. Underneath this umbrella is someone else who represents God. That happens to be your parents or your grandparents. What that means is when God says something and your parents say the same thing, you are to follow them because you're actually following God, right? So when God says, or when your parents say to you, I want you to clean your room, what do? You do what God says and you listen to your parents and you clean your room. When God says, don't hit your brother or sister, because your parents tell you not to hit your sister or brother, then you don't do that, right? Because God is the one speaking through your parents. And that's the point of this umbrella, or these umbrellas. God is over us, but your parents or grandparents are under God, and they are over you to make sure you do things right. Remember the gospel of Jesus where he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what it means to be to behave, to listen to your mom and dad. And as we think about that, why do you do that? Why do you show love to God? Why do you want to follow under God's protective wing? Because of what Jesus did for you, right? Because Jesus went to the cross and paid the penalty for all your sins when you have disobeyed your parents and God. And so we go to him in prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us our parents, our grandparents, and other people in authority to listen to your word and to follow your word. Thank you for sending Jesus, your son, our Savior, to redeem us. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Amelia. You want to take it down or not? You guys can go back to your parents or grandparents, and I'll try to get this closed out, popping it open again. Thank you. It's close enough, right? Look at that, it opened right up again. There's a click there. When God shares us this story of Cain and Abel, we don't hear a single word from the lips of Abel, do we? The Bible does not record any of his words, just simply his actions. And we find, as you might remember from your Sunday school years, or as you heard it read here, that Abel came to the Lord with an offering as he gave him his best, the best fattened portions from his sheep, because he was a shepherd. Cain, however, did what? Cain came to the Lord with an offering as well from the best from his crops. But what happened? God chose to accept Abel's, but not Cain's. Why? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain did. By faith, he was commended in Scripture as righteous. God testified favorably about his gifts. So Abel offered a better sacrifice, not because of who he was, necessarily, or what he brought, but why he brought it. He came in faith. And Cain came in unbelief, and so God did not accept that gift from him. As you go back one chapter to Genesis chapter 3, you know what happened there, right? The story of our first parents, the parents of Cain and Abel. What happened in that Garden of Eden? They were living a perfect life, and then they fell into the temptation of Satan. And God had to kick them out of his perfect paradise and in the land so that they would realize that they had committed sin against God and deserved to be separated from God. He gave them a promise of a Savior, of course, in chapter 3, verse 15, the great gospel promise, the first one in the Scriptures. But notice God had to banish them from that garden because of their sin. What happened as a result? Adam had to work very hard and deal with thorns and thistles of all kinds in the soil. And Eve had to bear children in pain. In fact, when she did give birth, she names Cain according to the Hebrew word, which means to brought forth or acquired. And when she gave birth to Abel, his name in Hebrew means meaningless. And that may be because she had realized by then that this is meaningless. I'm in despair because of my daily sins. But, of course, as you hear this story, you recognize that Abel was not meaningless at all. He led a meaningful life and came to God with his first fruits in faith. But what's interesting is this story does not focus on Abel so much as it focuses on God's love for Cain. When God looked at Cain, he said he saw anger, and God asked him a question. Why are you angry? And a second question, why do you have that angry look on your face? If you do good, will you not be lifted up? If you do not do good, sin is crouching at the door. It has a strong desire for you, but you must rule over it. God warned Cain, but Cain refused. Cain did not show any remorse, any repentance on his part. And what did he do? He carried out premeditated murder. And then what happened next? God goes to him and asks, in love, where is Abel, your brother? And here was an opportunity for Cain to come to the facts, to admit his wrongdoing. But what does he do? He comes up with a lie and a question. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And in faith, or in love, God reaches out to Cain another time in order to let him know that despite your wrongdoing, despite your murder, despite all the things you have going on in your heart, I still love you and I will reach out to you despite the fact you're a little bit wandering around in the world. And then we have this fact that he's in exile and facing a lack of protection. Do you have that same question in your heart? Am I my brother's keeper? When that person in your life has continued to carry out sinful words and actions, how do you respond? If they're living that kind of lifestyle that is not pleasing to God, what do you say to them? If they're living together without being married, what is your response? If they're holding a grudge because, well, that person started first and they won't let it go, how do you react? As we hear in these words from God, I am my brother's and my sister's keeper. And I pray that we'll be made aware of that and be reassured by that as well. I am my brother's and my sister's keeper. That's true because of what we have focused on this entire service. The fact that we want to love God above ourselves and love our neighbor. As we express that love to God and our neighbor, we realize that we are our brother's and sister's keeper. But I'm not any different than you sitting there in a pew today. I'm tempted to let it go, not bring it up, deal with me losing my reputation. I might be considered your holier than thou attitude. because they know what I've been doing in the past. Though I've repented of my sins and I trust in Jesus to forgive me, they know that I'm not a perfect pastor, not a perfect husband, not a perfect man, so they might bring up my past. And when they do that, I need to confess, yes, I was wrong, and I did do wrong, I did say the wrong stuff, but God forgives me. And he blots it out from his memory book. And he does the same thing for you as he wants to do for Cain. So I'm my brother's and my sister's keeper. Remember those words that God says throughout Scripture? The importance of why we value our brother and our sister? He says the soul who sins is the one who will die. Speak the truth in love. And finally, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That's hard to do. For me to be my brother's and my sister's keeper. But let me illustrate it with kind of a silly notion. What if I wake up in the middle of the night and I notice my neighbor's house is on fire? Am I just going to roll back to bed and say, well, I'm not going to bother with him. I'll just let his house burn down and his family burn with it. He doesn't like to be bothered this time of night anyway. I wouldn't do that at all, would I? I'd wake up, I'd get out of bed, I'd call 911, I'd rush to help him as much as I could because lives are at stake. And that's the same true for Cain and all our brothers and sisters are ones that we are to be keeping aware of. Souls are at stake. Spiritual lives are at stake. We need to do something before it's too late. So what do? Well, look at what God did. God says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the soil. Well, what happened was God was reaching out to this man who was a sinful human being who was showing no interest in remorse, nothing of a forgiving heart, and yet God reached out to him in love. Why? Because of the promise he made in chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis. That the Lord Jesus Christ himself would come down, be born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, live a perfect life in our place. He would go to the cross to pay for Cain's sins too, and mine and yours. And he wouldn't stay dead. He would rise triumphantly from the grave to let us know that our sins are indeed forgiven and forgotten by God forever. So God asked that question. And of course, Cain did not come clean. So God says, now you are cursed and sent away from the soil which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the soil, it will no longer give its strength to you. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. The very ground that swallowed his brother's blood will no longer produce fruit for him, and he will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Again, that was meant to bring Cain to repentance, to change his heart. But Cain was more worried about his own skin. My punishment is too great for me to bear. Look, today you have driven me away from the soil. I will be hidden from your face, and I will be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, no. In the Hebrew, it really means very well then. If anyone kills Cain, he will face sevenfold revenge. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that anyone who found him would not strike him down. Once again, God reached out to him in love. Now we have nothing from Scripture to tell us what happened for the rest of Cain's life as he's living in exile, wandering. The Apostle John happens to say in his first letter, do not be like Cain who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil while those of his brother were righteous. God didn't want that for Cain. God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So there are some important lessons for us to learn. Never take God's love for granted. And secondly, make the most of every opportunity to gather in public worship, to grow in your faith, and open your Bibles daily. Can I have a show of hands? Who tuned in to Pastor Mike Time of Grace this morning? A couple of you did? Good. For those of you who have not, you know who Mike is, Pastor Mike, Tyler Grace. If you have your phones on right now, go ahead and go to Google it. Tyler Grace, Pastor Mike. We'll give you 30 seconds. As you're doing that, if your phones are on, go ahead and do that. I'm not going to tell you what happens. What I want you to do is watch that. No, maybe not watch it for the rest of the service, but tune into it. If you have your phones and you're not on right now, before you get to the parking lot, go to that site and watch it. And if you wait till you get home or your phone's at home, tune in there. His question is for today's thought, devotion, sermon is, what if I don't understand the Bible? And he gives some pretty neat ways to help you understand the Bible. Because I can say, go ahead and read your Bibles, but maybe you don't want to read the Bible because you don't understand it. So watch that video. It's only 30 minutes long, shorter than my sermon today. Digest what he has to say and be a regular Bible study learner every day. As you do that, I also want to remind you of Pastor Tolberg's sermon a couple weeks ago. I told him the next day, that was your God's Great Exchange sermon. You know what God's Great Exchange is? God tells you what he sees, sin, what he demands, perfection, and what the solution is. It's not man-made remedies. It is God's gift through Christ Jesus, our Savior. So I've given you an assignment to go watch Pastor Mike's sermon from today. Pastor Tolberg has also given you an assignment. The last two services that he's preached at, go and tell one person each week what Jesus has done for you. How's that going? I blew it last weekend. Here I am at a hotel in Minnesota visiting my son in college. It's Saturday morning before dawn. I'm in the computer lab at the front lobby of the hotel, working on the worship folder for today's service. And in walks a man who asked me, what's the password to get in to log into this place? I gave him the password. He sits down and does his thing, studying for college, I guess. I'm doing my own thing over here. I never shared Jesus with him. I blew it. I could have said, you know the password to get into the computer. Do you know the password to get into heaven? That was so obvious. And I could have shared Jesus with him. And then his wife walked in a little bit later. I didn't say a thing either. I blew it. So what did I do? Well, I resolved this week that every time I went to Walmart, which was more than once, Dollar Tree more than once, Ace Hardware more than once, and other places throughout the week, I made sure to let people who I knew standing next, or did not know, who were standing next to me in line or whatever, who I was, what I do, where my church is, to build a relationship with them. I didn't share Jesus with them because of the time frame I had there, but I opened the door, possibly, to share the faith later, to make them aware of what Jesus has done for them. How about you? Now, my guess is you maybe don't want to talk to someone one-on-one so easily, those you don't know, but that's been your assignment. How's it going? Maybe you find yourself easier to talk to someone who you do know, who is struggling with a certain kind of sin, a pet sin, and you are well aware of it, and so they know you know it too. Well, remember what Luther says in his small catechism. Based on Scripture, you have the right, the authority, you have the power, the keys to forgive or not to forgive sins. So use that power, the key, to lock the door to heaven to those who are not penitent, like Cain. Use that unlocking key to let those people into heaven because they are repentant and you offer them forgiveness. Now you realize, of course, that your method and your way to share your faith with people is going to vary from place to place, person to person. but do something. Because my guess is, while we had a wonderful trunk or treat yesterday, and we have all kinds of wonderful activities throughout the year to let people onto our campus, there aren't too many that are going to walk in on their own to this place. Some will, but let's go out and get them. Let's go out to them, because there are many souls like Cain's whose eternal lives are at stake. Now is the time, because I am my brother's and my sister's keeper. Amen.